All right. Our next graduate is Julian Williams, graduating from Thurston High School. Julian. I've had my fill of enjoying Julian, so moving on. Next is Kirsten Ulrich, graduating from Lasser High School. Kirsten. And last but certainly not least, our own Janice Murray, graduating from Crestwood High School. Janice. We've had extra time with Janice. We had an interesting year with some combining of junior high and high school, and Janice grew up fast. So, how about one more last round of applause while they're here? Congratulations. Well, our graduates, as are most young people these days, are very, very busy, and these four are no exception. I'm going to give you some statistics about them, for lack of a better word, and I'm not going to tell you who they belong to, because we're going to have an opportunity for some cake and punch and a little reception of sorts after the service this morning. And I would challenge you to get to know them if you don't already, get to know the ones you don't already, and find out which ones of these facts are attributable to them, and you will be absolutely amazed as you hear these things. So, these are smart graduates. Their mean grade point average, 3.3, and one of them is their school valedictorian. They're all smarter than their youth leaders, which is not good. Except for Sarah and Jody, sorry. Yeah. All right, busy graduates. Here are some interesting things that they're involved in. Special Olympics volunteer, involved in choir, band, swimming, quiz bowl, softball, track, football, some team captains. We have a Navy Junior ROTC member, National Honor Society members, member of the rifle team, Science Olympiad, community service activities, and other various organizations, not to mention youth group. So that's a long list, and that's not exhaustive. So they are very, very busy, and they do their all these things very well. Some lists of favorite classes from these graduates. Clay. I didn't know clay was a class. I might have taken it. Anatomy. The reason that clay was a favorite class was because of it was a fun class and it was full of friends, which is a good reason. Anatomy, favorite class because of learning about the body and dissecting things. Yeah. AP Calc, didn't take it. It was a good atmosphere and the student learned a lot. And weight training because it was fun and it was a stress reliever. All right, some summer plans real quick. Trip to Cedar Point. One of them will be apprenticing with an uncle. One of them will be taking a trip to Ireland. And three of the four will be staffing various amounts of time at Bear Lake Bible Camp this summer. All right, and favorite youth group activities listed were Kings Island trips, third day concert, picture rallies, and camping trips. These are our graduates, very busy, very accomplished. So note some of those things in your mind and take the opportunity to ask them about them later. I'm going to pass the microphone off to Josh here.
Okay, well, I get the opportunity to ask them some questions, and we will start off with Will. Will, who was your favorite teacher in school and why?
My favorite teacher in school was Miss Olson from my choir class, basically because whatever I did, I kind of got away with. I brought dead bugs into class and put them in people's stuff. I brought my baby duck into school and kept it there all day. And I also brought in living cockroaches and played with them in class. Yeah, so that's why I love that class so much.
The future youth leader right there.
Yes, being a teacher, I'm glad that you were not one of my students. Kirsten, what will you miss most about Dunning Park Bible Chapel and Youth Group?
Okay, what I'll miss most about Dunning Park and about Youth Group is just the feeling of family that there is here. I mean, I know most of you out there, and so every time I come here, it's not unfamiliar at all. I know everybody. Everybody says hi. Everybody gives you a smile. And it's just like a big family, and I mean, I've been coming here since I was little, and I love it, and I'm going to miss that. So, yeah.
Despite you moving away, you know you're always family to us, too, so please don't be shy to come back and visit. Julian, you apparently have a funny youth group story for us. Would you like to tell us that, please?
Well, so we went to Kings Island one year for a Memorial Day trip, and I don't know if a lot of you know this, but I'm not really much of a heights person, you know, like I don't even like being on a ladder, so I didn't look at the entire roller coaster, and I figured if I just go in there blind, maybe it won't be so bad. And I went in on the Beast, which was supposedly the world's largest wooden roller coaster. So I went on there, and it was nice, smooth, you know, nice, flat. And I was like, oh, this is going to be sweet. And then next thing I know, there was this big, like, hump thing. It just kept going up. And then we were above the trees, and I was like, I don't remember seeing this. And, I mean, so I was sitting next to Kirsten. And as soon as we hit that drop, I curled into a ball. I was in a fetal position in the bottom. I didn't even look out, and I started screaming so loud. Then I ran out of breath. I had to get more air, and I looked up, and I was like, we're not even halfway down yet. And it was like 10 seconds of me just screaming. And then Kirsten on the side of me just like laughing at me. She didn't even enjoy the ride. She was just straight laughing at me through the entire thing. So scary, man. Yeah, that's my story, though.
I will say, when we went to Cedar Point a couple years later, I was able to coax him onto the Iron Dragon. And you said you liked it. Now, I used that story a lot to try to help encourage some of our kids last night who didn't want to go, you know, yesterday on our trip. So, good example there, Julian. So, Janice, who is your favorite teacher and why?
It's actually a tie between two teachers. They were actually really similar, so similar they called themselves twins, jokingly. One was Miss Markey, who I had 3 out of my 4 years for English, so I was really blessed in that way. And the other was Mr. Matozo, who I had for EP Calc. And they both were really good at teaching you things, and you actually grasped concepts when you left the room. But they also were good at having a really good environment in the class. You got to joke around and have fun. And it was really relaxed, but you still learned a lot. So I loved them both for that.
Now, Dave said earlier about, you know, making sure as you hear these accomplishments that our grads have done, I hope you're taking notes and you can kind of piece together who he was referring to earlier, and so maybe you can approach them about that later. We're going to go back to Will. Who is the most influential people in your life, and why?
That would be my parents and my aunt and uncle, and my parents for my faith in God, and my aunt and uncle for my love of animals and science, I guess. And well, you know, you'd have a Bible time with my dad every morning, so and that helps a lot.
Janice, same question. Most influential person.
I always hate these questions because I'm really bad with superlatives, but I think it'd be my mom. because she's always there for me, and she's always there to help me work through things and to calm me down when I'm having panic attacks, because when you do as much as I do, you kind of freak yourself out way more than you should. So she's just always helping me.
All right, Julian, I got another question for you. What will you miss about Dunning Park in the youth group?
Well, Dunning Park in and of itself, I just remember, like, I was in sixth grade, my first time coming here. Everybody was so nice. Like, I went to other churches, and people would just, like, do their own thing and didn't really pay much attention to everyone else unless, you know, they knew them. And so it was kind of hard to, like, settle in. But I remember coming here, and everyone's all nice and friendly and, you know, shaking people's hands and throwing smiles out. I was like, man, you know, I feel welcome here, you know? You guys are nice, you know? I feel like I'm actually welcome, and, you know, I appreciate that. And I definitely will miss that. But from youth group, man, those trips that we went on were so nice. It was nice, you know, with Jody's cooking. She made some good food. And I'm definitely going to miss all the youth leaders because every one of them has had some kind of impact on my life.
Allie, Jody's cooking too. As you can tell. Kirsten, who is the most influential person in your life and why?
The most influential person in my life would have to be my mom. She's more than just my mom. She's pretty much my best friend. I can talk to her about literally anything. And she, like Janice said, she's really good at calming me down when I'm stressed. And actually, just on the way here, I was freaking out about some stuff. And she calmed me down, talked to me the whole way, gave me some great advice. And I don't know, she's taught me everything I know. She's really close to God, so she's like my religious mentor as well. And she's just always there for me, and yeah.
Dangerous. All right. I wanted to keep going because nobody was crying yet, but Sarah says that we have to move on, so... how about we're gonna dismiss you to your seats in a moment here, and then you have to listen to me for one more time, and then we'll carry on from there. So how about another great big round of applause for our graduates? You guys can go ahead and take a seat. All right. Successful switch of microphones. We're off to a great start. All right, you four. So what I have this morning is I have a challenge primarily directed at the four of you. But for everybody else here, don't doze off because it's from God's Word, so there's something good here for all of us, okay? Some good reminders, and I think a challenge for a lot of us too. I struggled a lot with what I would challenge you with because really there's just no more than I could do for you at this point. You know, it's all been done. You're out of here. Thank you from the back. But I wanted to give you something that was pertinent to you guys. You're leaving, you know, the new horizons, all that kind of stuff. But I want to challenge you to continue to do something that I think that you're already doing. See, all four of our graduates are people who've trusted the Lord. Okay, they all know Jesus. They're all growing in Christ in different ways and at different levels. And now we're graduating from high school and we're going off to college. And what I want to challenge you with is this, that there is... the time has passed for you where you can think in your mind that that taking the next step in your walk of faith is something for tomorrow. Does that make sense? A lot of times I think when we're younger, we're growing up, we're talked to so much by family members, by teachers, by coaches, and things like that. We're talked to so much about how we are preparing for the future, okay? And the reality of it is none of us has anything more than today, okay? Yesterday's dealt with by Christ. Tomorrow is in his hands, and we have today where we can stand up for the gospel of Jesus. And that's what I want to challenge you with, is that if you thought you were waiting for tomorrow to come for that next step, well, tomorrow's here, okay? It's today. And so my challenge for you and for all of us here is that we live in a time where Christians have to speak up, okay? We live in a time where we cannot and must not remain silent. And one of those areas is this. I'm going to read to you from Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse 6. Paul is writing to the church in Galatia, and he says this: I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than that what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. He says, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? Or if I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. So let's see if I can make my challenge to you make sense. And that is this, that we live in a time, we live in a postmodern era with postmodern thought. There is no absolute truth. And if there was, we couldn't know it anyway. So what does that leave us with? That leaves us with something that they refer to, society refers to as experiential truth. It's kind of like saying, well, you believe what you believe, and I believe what I believe, and that's okay. Well, if they're in direct opposition to one another, they can't both be true, can they? You guys have graduated from high school, you at least know that much, right? 2 + 2 does not equal 5, no matter how warm and fuzzy 5 makes you feel, right? Okay? So the difficulty that we have in society today, though, is that you're not allowed to say that. You're not allowed to say that there is one true God. You're not allowed to say that there is one way to know him, have a relationship with him. You're not allowed to say that a place like hell exists because, well, loving God wouldn't send people there. Okay? The problem with that is this. You end up with a very similar problem to the one that Paul had with the church in Galatia. And I'll explain that here in a minute. When we read that passage from Galatians, there's some things that are taken for granted, that are assumed that the reader knows. And that is that if he's saying, don't believe the false gospel, it's taken for granted. But it's assumed that there is such a thing as a false gospel. It's assumed that there is such a thing as a false Jesus and a false message about him. Contrast that to what we have in society today, which is that I can do whatever I want to do, however I want to do it, and I put a Jesus stamp on it, and it's obviously Christianity, right? And who are you to say it's not? And that's kind of the attitude, okay? So when someone says, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. That's my way to God. Okay, and I believe in Jesus and I love Jesus, but I just don't believe that there's only one way to know God. But see, I put my Jesus stamp on it, and I'm totally comfortable calling that Christianity. The problem is, the four of you know full well that's not what this says. Okay, that is a false gospel. That's not the real Jesus, okay? And that has so many implications for not only for society as a whole, but it has so many implications for you in your life. And really, a lot of what you're going to encounter, especially for those of you going away to school, well, everybody's going to school, everybody's moving on, so much of what you're going to encounter is this universalist mentality, okay? Everything is acceptable except for biblical Christianity. Did you catch that? Everything is acceptable. Society has no problem with any belief system, any way of life, even some of the most, vile concepts and ways of living and religious systems and things like that. The world has no problem with them.
The world has a problem with biblical Christianity. And the reason the world has a problem with biblical Christianity is explained in Scripture. It says that Jesus himself explained that he is the light of the world. We are sinful people. We are in darkness. The darkness hates the light. Well, why? Because it exposes the truth about us. It exposes the truth that we are sinful people, that we are separated from God, that we are inherently that way. And we don't like that. We like to believe that we're all basically good people. Okay? So you need to know and understand, if you don't already, that the world has a big problem with that. And you know what the sad thing is, guys? And for everybody else here too, is that a lot of the so-called Christian church in society also has a big problem with that. There are plenty of entire churches that put the Jesus stamp on what they want to call Christianity, but they pick and choose what they want to believe out of here and what they want to obey out of here. And that's a false gospel. Okay? Now, why am I challenging you? You're sitting here looking at me and saying, this is not very uplifting, Dave. And my parents are here. I got all dressed up. And you're bumming me out. But, as I said before, all of you have made a profession of faith. All of you have professed your love for Jesus and your commitment to Jesus. I'm going to tell you a couple of things that Jesus, from Scripture, a couple of things Jesus had to say and something that Peter had to say. So we have this idea that there's more than one path to God, okay? All paths lead, you know, you could be the Buddhist, he's a moral guy, you know? So, you know, it's just his path, okay? Jesus said this in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He didn't say, I am a way. I am your truth if you choose to accept it. And I am one way to eternal life. He didn't say that. They were all definites. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus makes that very clear, okay? Peter, in his sermon in Acts chapter 4, he's answering back to the Jews and he's giving his testimony and an apologetic sermon about Jesus and the life of Jesus, says this in chapter 4, verse 12. He says of Jesus that there is no other name given to men by which we must be saved. No other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Okay? Somebody else's prophet is not a way to eternal life. Somebody's God by a different name is not a way to eternal life. Okay, somebody's system of morals is not a way to eternal life. Only in Jesus. Scripture makes that very clear. Okay? So again, you're nodding your head at me and you're saying, yes, Dave, you've been saying this for 4 stinking years now, and it's getting a little old. Well, here's why I'm challenging you with this, and this is where I want to bring this around to, and I want to wrap it up. Here's why I'm challenging you with this, and really this is why we all need to be challenged by this. You have to make your stand on God's word. When you encounter a person, a way of thinking, a teaching, anything of that nature that is contrary to what God's word says, if you trust Jesus, then you make your stand on what he has to say. Okay? This is not open for debate for us. Okay? Why do I tell you that? Because, again, the world is offended. People around us will be offended. I have friends at work who are offended. When they ask me what I believe and I tell them what they believe, they recoil at it. So you're saying I'm going to go to hell if I don't trust in Jesus? I'm not saying it. Jesus said it. And I choose to believe Jesus because he proved who he was. He was exactly who he said he was. He's God the Son. Okay? And you talk about the gospel message. Don't be afraid of the offense of the cross, you guys. First of all, nobody gets saved. Nobody comes to a knowledge of Jesus Christ without first experiencing that offense. Because that's what starts you thinking. That's the Holy Spirit working on people. Okay? First of all. Second of all, what the world tells us is that our stance as Christians for biblical Christianity, that there's one way to God, and that's Jesus Christ, and that's the only way, and there are only two paths you can take, and that's heaven or hell. and it's either with or without Jesus. And the world says that that's not loving. That's bigoted and hateful and condemning. And it's not. Because it's not loving to let someone spend eternity in hell because you're unwilling to offend them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not love. Okay, if we're going to do what Jesus commanded us to do and do what Jesus did and follow his example and love the people that we are surrounded by, we love them with our actions, help them, take care of them, meet their needs. But we have to love them enough to speak up and tell them the truth about Jesus Christ and what he did for them and what they can have in Christ. Okay, that's what I'm going to challenge you with. Don't buy into the lie that your belief in biblical Christianity is bigoted and hateful and unloving. It's not. It's the exact opposite. So stand up for it, guys. Spend time in the Word. Spend time in prayer. Know what this says. Spend time with your Lord daily. He'll help you with what to say in those opportunities when you have those conversations. But I want to challenge you to love the people around you enough. And you're all about to meet some new people. I want to challenge you to love the people around you enough to tell them the good news about Jesus Christ. Okay? It's the shortest lesson you've ever had from me. I'm going to pray for you. Father, we're so thankful for these four young people, not so young anymore. Lord, we're so thankful for them. We're so thankful for their families. We're thankful for all the good experiences of growth that they've had in their lives, Lord, and even though it's difficult for us sometimes, we're also thankful for the struggles and the trials that they've had in their lives thus far. And we're thankful that only in you can all of those things, difficult and easy, be worked together for their good, to make them more like your Son, to bring them into a closer relationship with you and to help make them more effective instruments for your kingdom during their time here in this world. So we're very, very thankful for their lives thus far, and as we celebrate their accomplishment now and moving on to a new stage in life, Lord, we ask that you would give us the wisdom to remember them in prayer, and we ask that you would give them the wisdom to remember to be with you in prayer as much as they possibly can. We thank you for your great love, and most of all, for your Son. We pray in his name. Amen. I don't need to make a mic switch. We have a little slideshow for you now. This is installment number 2 in Quest for Tears. Actually, as I'm moving this and we're readying the screen for the slideshow, go ahead, I can talk loud into this mic. As we're doing that, I'll tell you, on the way down to Cedar Point yesterday on the bus, Jody brought some 2 or 3 photo albums of some old, old pictures where these guys look like, they're not as young as my kids are now, but they look like they're as young as my kids are now. And I think this slideshow will do for you guys what those photo albums did for the four of us yesterday on that bus, and that is just, you're just going to laugh and see just how far these young people have come.